We began a couple of weeks ago talking to you on this subject from this day forward. Let me remind you, this is out of a book written by Pastor Craig and Amy Crochelle. It's available to you through Amazon or wherever. I would encourage you, there's no way we're covering all of this. We don't normally use books, but this one is so good. I would encourage you to get this. It's called From This Day Forward, and it's well worth your investment to get that. So we've been talking about that, and so I want you to take your Bibles today and go to the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. Then we're going to go right next door there to the book of the Song of Solomon. So some of you need to get ready because it's going to be interesting this morning. As you're going there, let me say hello to our campuses. I'm glad to be with you today. This has been a great weekend already. We had our summit weekend this weekend, and it was just a fantastic time as we gathered together. All of our campuses were represented here on Friday night and Saturday, and it just was a wonderful weekend. And now the weekend is being culminated with today and what God's going to speak to us. And so I'm glad you're with us at whatever campus you're at today, and I'm thankful for what God is doing there and through your local campus pastor. And let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. In fact, Love and Truth North, why don't we give all of our other campuses a hand today and our campus pastors for what they're doing. The book of Ecclesiastes, the ninth chapter, is where we're going to start. Now, remember in the first week, we talked about that one of the keys, we're giving you five keys, one key each week, that the first week we talked about seeking God, that you needed to seek God. And again, let me say this, and we've said this all along, even if you're not married, but you're going to be married, or you're in any kind of relationship as far as you work with people, you live, you know, you're in a family, these principles work in every aspect of life. Now, we're really targeting marriages, but they work in every aspect of life. So we talked about seeking God. Last week, we talked about fighting fair. And if you missed that, all I can do is tell you go online and watch it because you need to learn how to fight fair. Today, I get to talk to you about having fun. And we're going to be in the Song of Solomon. And anybody ever read out of the Song of Solomon? Okay, we'll get there in a minute for the rest of you. The book of Ecclesiastes, the ninth chapter. Now, how many of you know that they tell us that according to Scripture, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, correct? So he writes, most scholars believe that he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes towards the end of his life. And listen to what he said in the ninth chapter in the ninth verse. He says, "Live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days." Now, how many of you know Solomon had some things to say about life? "Through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun." And then he goes on to say, "The wife that God gives you is your reward." There should have been a whole lot of women saying, "Amen, praise God, that's right." "Is your reward for all your earthly toil." Now, just go a couple of pages over. We're going to be in the Song of Solomon in just a minute, okay? Or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on. Martin Luther, the Reformer, said this. He said, "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home." But he didn't stop there. He said, "And let him make her sorry to see him leave." We're going to have fun today, aren't we? Right? So having fun in marriage is really an important thing. It's not an event. It's an ongoing series of things that are happening in our lives that as we move forward, that we need to learn to have a good time. How many of you remember when you were dating? I know it was horse and buggy days, but... Right? I mean, you had fun. You enjoyed it. I'm going to talk about loving you is fun. There needs to be that aspect in our marriage. When you're married, let me say this. When you're married, fun is not a luxury. It's a requirement. How many of you have found out that life can be tough? The rest of you will before this morning is over. Life can be hard. Life has a way of kind of throwing some curves at you, and you make your plan. You say, "You know what? We're going to get married, and we're going to wait 5 years to have our first child, And 9 months later, you walk in and go, I don't know how this happened. Well, we can help you with that today. We're going to be talking about that. And you know, you get a job and things are going well, and all of a sudden you buy a house, and then the recession hits. Right? And life gets tough, and life gets strained, and we find ourselves in those moments. And what we don't understand is a lot of times we lose the fun of being married. It's like, well, you know, Pastor, life is hard. Yeah, but life can still be enjoyable. Amen? Have you ever met people and you think they're just breathing up somebody else's air? Do you know what I mean? It's like, what's your problem? Well, it's just really hard. Come on, really? I guarantee you, however hard it has been this week in your life, somebody has had it worse. Amen? And so God puts us together. In fact, when the whole beginning process there in the book of Genesis, when God creates man, and he creates man, and he has all these animals, and he has a perfect garden, and God looks around and he says, something's wrong. And here's what God said. He said, it's not good for a man to be alone. Right? And so the scripture says he brings all the animals by and says, none of those are a worthy companion. And so God puts Adam to sleep, and he creates woman, and he puts them together, and he gives us this thing about that's why a husband's going to leave everything, and they're going to cleave together, and they're going to be one flesh. And he gives us all these things. And then we come and we allow the world to dictate to us what our marriage ought to look like. Yeah, you know, it's just going to be hard. And we think that marriage is like what we see portrayed on television. Now, there's two aspects of that, or in the movies. There's two aspects of that. First of all is every husband that's in a TV series looks like an idiot. Right? I mean, you think about it. The man's always a goofball. He's always messing up. He's always, you know, and it doesn't matter. It can be, you know, everything across the board. It's always there. And the other part of that is that the woman is always, her makeup's always perfect. Her hair's always right. She never has to struggle with her weight. What's wrong with y'all? She is airbrushed to perfection. And so we buy into that. We buy into that whole thing instead of understanding that life is life, and life happens to everybody, and it's not what you see portrayed on television. It's not what you see in the movies. It's not even what you grew up on. Remember when they told you the little stories as you were a child, and they would finish it, and they would say, and they lived what? Happily ever after. That's why it's called a fairy tale. Because there are going to be those moments that it's not happy. There are going to be those moments that it's not wonderful. But even in the midst of that, your marriage, you can have fun, you can enjoy it, and it can be a source of strength to your life. Now, let me say this. Without romance, without adventure, without physical intimacy, without fun, marriage is reduced, listen to me, it's reduced to a simple business arrangement. It's like you have formed a company and you have gone into partnership, and you know, this is, and we're now, you know, XYZ Incorporated. And that's all. Listen, I want to tell you, that's not what marriage is about. Marriage is more than that. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know that when you fall in love with somebody, that it's because you enjoy being with them? Right? People never fall in love having a bad time. Right? Well, I fell in love when I hate being with him. I can't stand that guy. Every time I get in his car, it stinks and he stinks. I don't like, but I've fallen in love. No, you are. Right? You were having a good time, and then you get married.
And it's like,
And we miss out on the understanding that if you don't have some fun in marriage, one day you may not have a marriage. Can I say that again? If you don't learn to enjoy the other person, that marriage is probably in serious trouble already, and it may not make it. See, I believe this. I believe God wants us to have fun with who we marry. The scripture, Jesus said, I am come that you would have life and that you would have it what? Abundantly. Our world needs to see Christians having fun. Amen? They need to look at us and say, it's okay to be a Christian. Those people actually know how to laugh. Ever been around Christians? It's like some Christians are afraid that if they have a good time, God's going to strike them dead. You know how I know God has a sense of humor? He created monkeys and people. God has a wonderful sense of humor, right? I mean, and he wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have fun. Now, I want to talk about three types of fun, and I'm going to get it out of the Bible today. So, again, just get ready because we're going to go some places that some of you don't even know is in the Bible, all right? The Song of Solomon is it's an interesting book. In fact, let me just it won't be on the screen. Let me just read to you. Because when I study the Song of Solomon, I remember in college and then in commentaries and stuff, you read what theologians say about the Song of Solomon, and they say, the Song of Solomon is about God and Israel, or about God and the church. I read the Song of Solomon. How many of you have read the Song of Solomon? You ever read the Song of Solomon? I don't see God in the church. Let me just read you a few verses. I won't read them all. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chamber. Do I need to break that down for y'all? That's the woman. Here's the guy. I liken you, my darling. I don't know if we ought to use this one. This one's a little. I liken you, my darling, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariots, horses. Lost something in translation. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make your earrings of gold and studded with silver. And you keep reading that. That's just in the first few verses of the first chapter. I mean, as you start getting into it, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, it gets kind of, I'll keep it PG-13, but it gets a little racy. Y'all ready? See, three types of fun that every married couple, every husband and wife, when we come in, it's not about just, hey, you know what, we got to get through this, and we married each other, and now we got to, no, there needs to be some. The first one is face-to-face, all right? Face-to-face. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's reflect back for a minute. Let's reflect back when we were dating, okay? How many of you know that when you were dating, you could talk until 2 in the morning? And in fact, I don't know. Now, see, things have changed nowadays because you got cell phones, you got all this stuff. But when I was dating, you know, it was my wife. I was in college in Mississippi, and my wife was in Illinois. And I didn't have a cell phone. There wasn't such a thing, you know. We still had those pay phones that it cost you, you know, $1.29 for a minute or whatever. And I'd be on, and the dorm was a wide open dorm, so you'd be out there and you'd be clucking your change in so you could talk. And we talk till I run out of money. Right? Anybody remember those days? And now it's like, pass me taters. Really? That's what you got? That's it? You know, you come in and said, how was your day? Fine. What'd you do? Nothing. Really? That's it. That's all you got is fine and nothing. Now, you need to get a little more descriptive, guys, and I have to say this on the front end. Guys, I'm going to give away a few man code secrets today. Right? I know I shouldn't, but I'm going to. But I'll give you some to help you out, all right? You need to understand, guys, that you need to explain to her how your day was so fine and that you got paid to do nothing all day long. Right? Okay, so is it, this face-to-face, what we need to learn to do as husbands and wives is that we need to learn to create time where your only goal is to talk. Now, hang on, men. I'll get to the stuff you want me to talk about in a minute. You look dumb. I got it. I'll get there. But sometimes you just need to learn. And you say, well, we got kids. Well, call grandma, bribe somebody, save up, you know, hide some cash away until you, and make sure that you go out and that you talk to each other. You used to do this all the time. You even wanted to do this. And now you have to have somebody tell you to do it. See, we need to remember why we liked each other so much. Why did we get married? Why did we come into this relationship? What attracted us to one another? And if it's all just about business, okay, you got to get the kids to band practice, and tomorrow they've got soccer, and you got to get them to school, and you got to go to work, and that's business stuff. Wow, it's quiet in here. We've got to come to that place where we understand that when we come home, we need to spend some face-to-face time together. I mean, just what I'm saying, you need to spend some time together talking, enjoying one another again. I can tell by the body language today that I am walking on thin ice, because it's like, I just don't have time for that. You had time before you got married. You were still working a job. You were still involved in life. Some of you were going to college and working a job and pursuing each other during that. And then now that we get married, it's like, I got it. See, one of the problems is, let me talk again. I'm going to give away guy code stuff here, all right? But here's guys are hunters, all right? We're hunters by nature. Now, I don't hunt, but we're hunt. That's what, you know, we go out, we stalk it. Right? We shoot it, and then we put it on the wall. And it's like once a year we dust it. Right? And that's what happens in marriage. We stalk them. We got them, and on our anniversary, we'll tell them we love them. See, we need to learn that in our lives, we need to enjoy one another's company. We need to come to that place where we're not just hanging out, but we really are moving into what God wants us to as believers. When you're dating, it seems like you talk and talk and talk all day long, every day, and then you get married. Listen to what the Song of Solomon says. This is Solomon talking. How beautiful your sandaled feet, O princess daughter. Your graceful legs are like jewels, the work of an artist's hands. Your navel is a rounded goblet that never lacks blended wine. What a woman. I'm just saying. Your waist is a mound of wheat encircled by lilies. I'm going to get in trouble with this one. Your breasts are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle. It's in the Bible. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are like the pools of fish. I mean, your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon. I don't know how to explain that one. Looking toward the man. I mean, he's just going at it here. Right? What is he doing? What's Solomon doing in this moment? He is expressing to this one he loves what he thinks about her and why he wanted her. See, here's the deal. Let me help you. Men like headlines. Women like details. Now, and okay, I got it. There's Some of you switch roles, I understand. But overall, okay, they tell us, the people who study all this kind of stuff tell us that the average man has a daily vocabulary of about 25,000 words. The average woman, I'm not making this up, the average woman has a daily vocabulary of about 50,000 words. About twice as much as a man. So men, we have to work harder at this than our wives do. But it's okay, because God created you to be different, because it's the differentness of who you are that makes you what God wants you to be when you come together as a husband and wife in marriage. So there's that face-to-face. Then there's side-to-side, okay? Side-by-side, side-to-side. Side-to-side fun is simply hanging out, all right? It's just hanging out with your best friend, and I hope your best friend is your spouse. Now, I mean, you know, as soon as I get home, all I can wait to do is go hang out with the guys or hang out with the girls. No. Your best friend ought to be who you're married to. Amen? Well, glory to God. Listen to what Solomon says, or actually the woman says. She says, "Come, my beloved, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages." Now, here's what she's saying. She's saying, hey, let's get away from the town. Let's get away from the city. Let's go to the bed and breakfast, and let's have a good time. Don't look holy at me. I hadn't even read the stuff yet I'm going to read. I heard a guy say this. He said, when I'm walking by my wife's side, I always like to hold her hand. He said, I do this for two reasons. One is because I love her. He said, the other one is if I let her go, she'll go shopping. Side by side means this, is that you need to find activities that you can enjoy together. Okay? There may be some things, guys, that you're going to, let me just talk again to guys. Guys, you may have to actually walk into a mall. Well, I don't like going to the mall. You know, we just get in there and she just spends my money, and it just costs so much when we go to the mall. Well, let me talk to you. Divorce is going to take half of what you've got, and you're still going to have to put up with her until the kids are grown. If that's your brain, if that's what you're saying, well, it just cost it. No. Wait, just again, it will cost you a whole lot more. All right? Now, wives, if he goes to the mall, you may have to go to the golf course. You might even get so brave and holy that you put on an orange vest and go sit out in a tree somewhere. Now, that would be a woman right there. I mean, Solomon couldn't even describe her. Again, I'm giving away man secrets here. Two times men are most likely to open up to their wives. One is when he's doing something that he enjoys. When whatever it is, if he's, you know, doing something he enjoys, he's more open. I'm giving man code secrets away. He's more open to talking to her. The second time is right after he's done something with you he enjoys. It's in the Bible. Let's read out of the Holy Book. verse 10 of chapter 7. I belong to you, my beloved, and his desire is for me. Come, my beloved, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us go early in the vineyards to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. You can get arrested. I just hate to tell every theologian that thinks that this is about God and the church that this has nothing to do with God and the church, except God inspired it to be written to show men and women that it's okay to have fun. That he created us. Can I dare say this? And I hope you took your kids to children's area today. Can I dare say that God is the one who created us as sexual beings? See, the third aspect of fun is soul to soul. When you begin to study Scripture, what you find in the New Testament is the Word of God says this. It's talking about the illegal use of sex. And it says every other sin is without the body except the sin of sexual of using sex in the wrong way. God is saying to us this. Everything else doesn't defile in the sense of what it does to your soul except sexual immorality. And he says, here's what I want you to understand. I have created sex. I have put it together. I am the one who came up with the idea, and I want you to enjoy it. It's interesting to me how that we will sit down and watch TV shows that talk much more than I'm going to talk about today, and we're okay about it, but when the pastor talks about it in church, we get offended sometimes. I mean, have you listened to popular music lately? It will scare the life out of you. I mean, in my day, again, I know I'm getting on up there, but in my day, they alluded to stuff. You know, it was kind of hidden messages so your mom and daddy wouldn't know what they were talking about. Not anymore. It's like, come on, baby, right now, right here. And we are going, I mean, I won't go any further, but I mean, it's, then you read the Bible, and people go, I can't believe he said breast in church. It's in the Bible. See, what we just read there, it's about romance. She's saying, hey, let's get away. I'm going to make this special for you is what she's saying. And I'm going to tell you, wives, you want to get your husband's attention? All you got to say is, let's go out of town for the weekend. And he is ready. Do you read this? I don't know. He says some stuff. She says some stuff. I'm not even going to read it. I'll let you go home and read it. See, it's okay to be a sexual being because God created us as sexual beings. Now, what he did not create us to be was to live like animals. He created sex for the bonds of marriage. And the best way that that works is one man, one woman for life. That's what the Word of God says. That's what the Scripture tells us. And we've lost that in our society. We've lost that. We've lost the understanding of marriage between husband and wife. We've lost the whole aspect of treasuring one another and caring for one another. In fact, a year or so ago, something happened I begin to think about something, and I want to just drop this into your lap for a moment here. Have you ever heard somebody refer as a trophy wife? Ever heard that? They're a trophy wife, okay? And there are a lot of guys who marry a woman and they want her to be a trophy wife. And that's why they want her to, you know, look a certain way, and you know, she can't gain any weight and all this stuff. And they've bought in the whole Hollywood myth that you still look as good when you get up in the morning. What's wrong with y'all? As you did when you went to bed last night. And I got to thinking, wait a minute, God never told us to have a trophy. He told us to have a treasure. That our wives are not trophies, they're treasures. And if we would learn to treasure them, we would come to that place where we understand that God wants us to live life together, and that does involve sexuality. Now, you may be thinking, well, is God okay with this stuff? Yeah, he is. Let's just look at what the Word of God says, okay? You ready? The book of Proverbs, the 5th chapter, verse 18 and 19, here's what it says. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Woo, hallelujah, praise God. If we stopped there, I'd be in good shape. The next verse says, a loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. I can't believe the preacher read that in church. It's in the book. It's what the Word of God says. See, what's this? Beside being an indicator of overall health of your marriage, physical intimacy and fun is really one of the most powerful things you can do to bring healing to your relationship. There's something that happens. That's why those scriptures says everything else is without the body except this aspect. It does something. That's why the Bible says that they'll become one flesh. And I know, I got it. I'm gonna wrap this up and we'll be holy in a minute. But let's go somewhere before I get there, okay? To those of you who are not married yet, listen, it's not about just don't have sex so you won't get married, so you won't get pregnant. It's not about just do it so you don't get caught. It's about that there is something special, and that when you do have sexual relations outside of the bonds of marriage, that you give away bits and pieces of yourself. Part of your soul is given away. And that's why so many people have such a hard time once they come into marriage of being satisfied with that marriage partner, because they have given themselves away to so many people. And then you get in marriage and people go, well, I just don't feel anything anymore. Well, let me just say this to you. Feelings follow actions. Feelings follow actions. Guys, let me talk to you just a minute. All right? You ready? Guys, remember that your approach matters a lot. I don't know what he's talking about. Don't just walk in and say, hey, baby. She's been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Try a little romance. Try a little conversation. Try a little kindness. Try a little love. So that's guys. Gals, let me talk to you. I got some advice for you. Here it is. You ready? Ladies, make an approach. That's it. Any approach. Just make one. We'll come a running. You can't do this sermon in 30 minutes, people. We've allowed an erroneous picture to develop in our marriages. well, when I married him, he looked like this or she looked like that. And so we've allowed what Hollywood has propagated. And because they look perfect and they never gain weight and it's all, but let me just say this, a lot of that is camera angles, retouching. If you saw them without makeup and their Spanx, it would be a whole different world. Life changes us. But you still ought to enjoy one another. If you want what you once had, you've got to do what you once did. That's what it takes. This sermon will live in infamy. It will never be forgotten. It will be one of those from years on end that will be quoted and requoted. And some of you will try to use it as a weapon. But I told you last week, when you are in that moment of discussion, you never say, "And Pastor said." God wants you to enjoy life. And he wants you to enjoy your marriage. And here's what I know, because I've been doing this a long time. So many marriages are just barely civil, let alone enjoyable. And my job today is try to help you, with a lot of humor hopefully, but to help you to see that it's okay to have fun in your marriage and to enjoy one another and to enjoy life. Listen, our world needs healthy Christian families. Your children, and I'm closing, but your children need to see a mom and a dad who still love one another, because they are going to emulate and they are going to replicate what they see at home. And if you can't stand one another, what do you think that's going to mean down the road for them? So my challenge to you today is this: have fun. If you're married, make sure that there's an element of fun that's part of your life. If you're not married, take this to heart. Don't be reading the Song of Solomon, because you don't need to read it yet. When you get married, then read it. But understand that God's power has been given to families. Watch what the scripture says. So that we can reflect the relationship of God and the church. That's what we're called to do.